Otakuology Podcast with Otaku Mike Engine Graves.
Hey guys, what's up? Jin here, back with another episode of the best podcast in the world. Everybody would say, not just some, everybody. Otakuology. And with me as always, as he likes to say, my heterosexual life partner, Otaku Mike.
That is right. What are we talking about today, Jin?
Today we're going to talk about Goku from Dragon Ball Z.
Goku from Dragon Ball Z and how he got a different, he's got like, what do you call it? Like a,
oh, he got a haircut,
a different persona.
Yeah, he got a haircut. He's more human now. He's got a fake eye.
He's got and, a secret life away from Chi-Chi.
Yep. And some reason he thinks it's okay to wear a tie and then almost dress like a Chippendales. and I don't know if when we say Chippendales, if I can just throw a Rescue Ranger or a Chippendales, like the Chippendales male stripper dancers guys.
Right? I mean, his outfit was pretty crazy.
This is true. Very true.
Do you want to explain this outfit he wears?
Yeah, I can.
Okay.
So he wears an outfit, and I almost want to say it's like a vest, but it's not a vest because it's got sleeves.
It's a jacket. It's like a It's not like it's like a blazer almost, I think.
Yeah, well, I would say it's more of like a sports coat.
Or like a sports coat, yeah.
Yeah. And it looks like he's supposed to be like 007 or whatever. Because he's got the shoes, he's got the pants, he's got this jacket, but he just forgot to put everything else underneath the jacket on.
No, it's and then he is. What's funny is later
his one indicator too is that he didn't have a bow tie. He's got a black tie that just goes down and hangs in front of his chest.
What's is funny though, he wears a vest under his sports coat, but it's such a long V like a sports coat. It just looks like he's wearing nothing.
Yeah.
But yeah. But do you want to get started talking about this first episode? This is a science fiction, I want to say Blade Runner-esque anime.
Yes.
This came out in 1987.
Goku the Midnight Eye.
And 1989 is when these two episodes came out.
You know, and I just want to point one thing out on this, because I thought this was fucking hilarious, especially after going...
The manga came out then. The anime came out in 1989. Sorry.
That's funny. Yeah. Especially, like, going to a con last weekend and everything. Uh-huh. I just think it's fucking hilarious. Like, why, like, him and Beat and some of the other characters that we've been watching, like, why aren't they relevant anymore? Because I could totally... Beat?
Beat? Who's Beat?
From the guy that drives the red car.
Oh, Bean Bandit.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
I knew it was something that grew in the ground.
Go ahead.
I mean like just thinking about it from a cosplay aspect, like these are like really relevant things, and yet nobody knows about them really anymore, which is weird to me. But I'm like, these would be some like fucking easy cosplays for people to get away with.
It would, yeah.
And if somebody dressed up as Goku, oh my gosh, I'd go up and be like, "Can I get a picture with you?" Like
Goku in this, correct? Awesome.
Yes, this Goku.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean. His outfit is really ridiculous, but I think it works. Oddly, it works.
I mean, oddly, everybody I've ever seen play The Witcher, you know, Geralt the Witcher in his little bathtub scene. Like, you're already got your chest exposed anyway. Why couldn't you just put on a tie and, you know, a sports jacket?
But I have to say, it's interesting that you say, like, that people don't, like, know these characters or anime, like, exists. I think it's very much like, I don't want to say like a product of its time, but like how much anime fans have changed. And anime, right. A lot of newer anime fans don't necessarily go back.
I do want to point this out too, though, because there's people that don't know anything about it. And then there's people like you and I, like we've seen the names because like we have watched stuff in that vicinity.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But we haven't watched that specific thing. So like we kind of know about it, but we don't know about it.
Like,
and then all these other people that don't know shit about it, you know, like you go, well, have you heard about Bean Bandit? No. Well, what about Gunsmith Cats? No. Well, what about this, you know, or
about Go-Go 13
Metro City or Macross or you know,
Dirty
Captain
Pair.
Harlock. I mean, even Captain Harlock like throws me off. Like people, if I'm talking to somebody and they bring up Captain Harlock, I'm like, how the fuck do you know Captain Harlock?
I mean, exactly. Like it's like they don't new. It's like a lot of the old classics are being held up by a lot of the older fans, and I guess you could say it's our job as older fans because we're in our 30s. You know, it's our job to like. I don't want to say like, here, go watch this, you know, but like here, check this out type of thing.
If you're going to watch all this other shit, you might as well watch the older shit. I mean, come on.
I mean, true.
I mean, and it makes me think about it. Like, sure, I don't know like a bunch of stuff about like Mazinger, but I really like Mazinger. Yeah. And it's funny to me how like if you go, okay, well, name a robot anime and people are going to give you Gundam. I'll give you that. But nobody's going to mention, like, Giganto. Nobody's going to mention Mazinger. Nobody's going to mention some of this other stuff. Unless you know. And that's, like, a niche person in and of themselves.
I got one for you. Die Guard.
Oh, my gosh.
Or Armored Trooper Votoms.
Right. I mean, and even, like, my favorite one. The samurais, you know, samurai warriors.
Oh,
like
samurai troopers?
Yeah, samurai troopers.
Or
either or.
Or as I like them, Ronin warriors.
Exactly. but like who knows about that stuff anymore? Yeah. Like, you know, like, and somehow it really throws me off why Sailor Moon's kept like its badge of honor with people.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But none of this other stuff has.
True, and it's weird, like, because, like, Goku Midnight Eye came out in the, like, OVA boom period, so, like, this had to be passed around in, like, the anime sphere. Like, I remember seeing VHS tapes of this at, like, video stores.
Passed around like Ryu's sister?
Yeah, passed around like Ryu's sister. Yeah, we'll get the fucking that. Oh my
god. Jesus Christ. Oh my gosh.
Passed around. No, with Ryu's sister mom.
This is true. I almost said Ryu's mom. I was like, don't let me spoil this for anybody. I'll just say sister. But yeah, no, I completely agree with you on how much of this stuff, like, and it really kind of like hurts my heart thinking like older like board games and other things that we don't have around anymore because of there not being like a thing for that. And I'm kind of waiting because, I mean, if you think about it, I feel like if somebody like really like popular did a thing on one of those, like, I mean, you'd have it kind of like make a resurgence for a little while, at least.
I mean,
like,
you could technically say like the old anime has had like a renaissance or a resurgence with like everything getting relicensed and being available on streaming services.
And I agree with that. I just feel like they're putting them on streaming services as like their last burial place.
No, you're not wrong. You're not wrong.
I mean, like, the funny thing is, and you'll love this story. I mean, you'll fucking laugh. So somebody was talking to me about something the other day, and they brought up Crunchyroll.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, why would you watch all your stuff on Crunchyroll? Like, you know, because one of the things they said, I was like, you can watch that on Retro Crush. And they go, what is Retro Crush?
Yeah.
And I was like, back up. Let's talk about this. You don't know what Retro Crush is? Oh, no. I said, have you ever heard of Tubi? And they're like, yeah, I know what Tubi is. I said, have you ever seen any old anime on Tubi? Oh, no. And I'm like, you have some things that you need to figure out in your life.
Which a lot of their anime is on Tubi. So,
right. I mean, right.
You know. Yeah.
So, you know, and that's one of the things, like, if it's not on Tubi, then it's probably on Retro Crush. If it's not on Retro Crush,
well, I think, you know, we're always also, we'll get to the anime eventually, but we're always like,
we'll make a second recording tonight.
But like we're all like Crunchyroll, I'll say Retro Crunchyroll was so like ingrained in the anime like zeitgeist that we're all just true. Programmed to go there. And I went on Crunchyroll the other day because I wanted to watch that new Dragon Ball Z movie, the Dragon Ball Super movie, and I had to pay. I had to get a membership. If I want to watch it, like a lot of the stuff on there, I have to get a membership now.
See, I would do that.
And same thing with Funimation. Like certain things are free, but a lot of the main things aren't free anymore.
Right.
I mean, I had a Funimation membership to begin with, but I eventually canceled it.
Yeah.
You know, because I wasn't using it as much, you know, but like, I mean, there's two things right there. And then we have like High Dive. Like, you know, High Dive's not free, but I mean, High Dive has a lot of different stuff on it that's not on Crunchyroll. Yeah,
I did forget about High Dive.
Yeah. The third child in the anime streaming family.
The red-headed stepchild.
Yeah, definitely. But anyways, you know, yeah. I mean, Goku Midnight Eye, let's talk about this.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it, you know.
So, this really did make me think of like Demon City Shinjuku from the start of it.
Let me ask you: did you get any like Journey to the West vibes from this? Because that's what it was supposed to be kind of based on.
I did with the stick.
The stick, just the stick.
That was it. Yeah, I really was like, yeah, I was sitting there like, so. I understand why we have all this stuff and why we have things that Journey to the West is based off of.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, but this is a little too close. Cause if we take Dragon Ball, there's too much shit that's related to this just with Goku and Goku.
Yeah.
They're both Goku. They both have a stretchy staff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're both super powerful, whether one is super strong because he's an alien and the other one has a magic eye. I mean, like, there was plenty of stuff. And of course, like, this is a product of its time. Mm-hmm. I mean, totally felt like Knight Rider, totally felt like Bean Bandit. I mean, you were going to have all this stuff. Yeah. And if there wasn't a fucking car in it, I don't know if I could call this an old thing, because every good old hero had a car. I mean, they mm-hmm. were human and they had plot armor, but they had a car. They weren't super.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's what the majority of them are. It's kind of like Iron Man, but with a speedmobile, you know, like, or Batman. Yeah. And it's just how a bunch of these are.
But he, go ahead.
And that's kind of how it was for Goku in this, is that, he starts out, and that's kind of, we do get a little bit of his origin story, which seemed like
he was a like a disgraced cop, or he left the force basically to become like a private investigator.
Yeah, it really made me think about like the Predator 2 movie where they're at the precinct and everything
with like Danny Glover.
Yeah. Where it's like they got to go in there and do that. Like that's the vibe I got from all his stuff and going in, and I'm trying to find my friends and I'm trying to do all this and da-da-da. And then the person, well, don't do that. Don't get into my investigation. I'll have to put you in jail, you know, and it it ends up basically like he goes against it, he goes into it, he ends up dying, yeah, and quote unquote dying, and then, you know, gets thrown out basically, and then somebody else, somehow a mystical being, picks him up and says, "I replaced your eye with this."
Well, let's get into this. Let's start from the beginning. Let's start from the beginning. I want to say, so we have Goku, who
is at the strip club.
He's a disgraced cop, or he was a cop, and you know
Are we starting at the strip club?
We could start from the beginning, and then we move from this to the strip club, because the strip club was really interesting.
I feel like the strip club was at the beginning, though.
I mean, it's kind of at the beginning, sort of. But Goku is on the quest to find out what's going on with this particular case. I don't remember, like, all the details, but wasn't it his, like, people from his, like, his precinct were getting killed? Correct?
Yeah, because of the strip club.
Because of the strip club. Okay.
That's what I'm saying. We got to cover the strip club for us to move forward.
But he's doing his private investigator thing, and he ends up meeting...
We got one of his friends that's doing a private investigative thing.
Yeah.
And they're watching this strip club owner that's in there, and it's like a high luxury... Like, if we're talking about prostitutes, he would be like an escort level. Like,
yeah,
I mean,
he's like this like high powered businessman, I believe, right?
Yes, yeah,
yeah.
And he's got like super mutants.
Do you remember what his name was?
No, I just kind of called him White Suit. Yeah, I mean, because that's what everybody else had, like, normal suits, and this guy just has a stark white suit, and you're like...
But he ends up meeting up with one of his former flings / colleagues, Goku does. I don't remember what her name was, but they meet up, and...
That didn't happen yet.
I mean, it does.
Not yet.
It's before the strip club.
No, it's after the strip club.
No, when they meet and talk?
No, it's after that.
And they go to the stakeout thing, and we see the flamingo lady?
No, that's totally...
Okay, fine then. You explain it. You explain it then.
Okay, I'll tell you when your part goes back up.
Okay.
So you got one of his guys at the strip club, and he's sitting there talking to somebody on the phone. And he's sitting there, and he looks over, and they're talking about the girl in the Harley suit. Which later on we find out she's an android robot thing.
And she has like handles in her head.
It's just an outfit.
Oh, is it?
She's got a collar on.
I thought those were like implanted into her.
No. So I think how they did that part is the Harley part was actually more like armor. And it was connected to her by her spinal cord.
Dude, we'll get to one point in this first episode, and I was like,
I know what you're talking about, and I strongly have something that I'm gonna hold off because when I tell you the comparison that I made with it, I want you to be like, I could see that.
Yeah, I could see that.
But we do that, and the detective guy is talking about, you know, this girl, oh yeah, she's beautiful or whatever, which I wouldn't expect in for a pair of boobs to be hanging out in this show, but it was. Yeah. So that's one thing, if you know you're going to watch it, that happens. But the guy turns to look at this boss man guy, and he's looking at him and can see these kind of like shapes outside of the window, and they turn out to be eyeballs.
Mm-hmm.
And it ends up like freaking, or like putting him under a spell, so to speak, and... he ends up pulling his gun out and shooting himself in the head at the strip club.
That's right. Yeah.
And then now we get to your part where, I almost called him Bean, where Goku is in the police department and he's talking to the police chief about, well, such and such died last night, da da da, and starts naming off like four other guys that have died by like suicidal measures. And
one of the only people left is this woman he meets that he knows.
There's the woman, and then there's the two guys on the stakeout.
Yeah. Yeah. And so they go, like Goku offers to drive her to, like, I think home to, or like this to the stakeout. To the stakeout. Yeah. And while at the stakeout, these two guys are there and they're like watching and they see a woman who is basically naked. She's wearing a thong and she magically sprouts out some peacock feathers from her asshole. And she hypnotizes this guy, and one guy ends up throwing the other guy off a ledge, and I think he died. The other guy dies too, right?
Yeah, the first one he threw off the ledge. The other one, as they were pulling up, he jumped off of the ledge
and yeah, that's died right. too,
which made the girl the only one left.
Left,
but these peacock feathers are the spot that the eyes come out of to hypnotize people.
Yeah, that's true. And Goku and this woman end up getting to going in to investigate this high powered businessman, and he gets through like a bunch of like water tunnels, right?
Yeah. So I thought it was like a factory, like exhaust area where like they had the runoff go into the river or whatever.
Yeah.
But the liquid and stuff that they pumped in there, I think it was like a area to fill stuff up with.
Mm-hmm.
Like almost like gas or something.
He ends up getting to this guy, but he doesn't like, he like ends up getting like jumped, I believe, and like beat up. Correct?
Yeah. Cause he beats up a couple guards and then he gets in there to the guy. Well, he gets into where the nightclub part was, or the strip club part was. And that's when shit gets weird.
It gets weird, and it gets real, real fast. Goku barely makes it out of there. And he eventually does, and he's, like, on the chase. And we see Peacock Lady again, and she ends up hypnotizing him. And
You got to tell them about our special thing that the Harley girl does.
Oh, she shoots laser beams out of her fucking mouth.
Yes. And then what about the other guy that's in there?
Isn't he just like really strong?
Yeah, I think he's bioengineered like strong too.
Yeah. And so the Peacock Lady is there and she's like trying to hypnotize him while Goku is driving a car trying to get away. And what does he do to get out of the hypnotism? He stabs himself in the eye, careens off a bridge into some water. We don't know who exactly saves Goku, but Goku wakes up and he has a magic eye. And this eye is pretty much Google or a smartphone in his eyeball. Because this thing can like hack or connect into anything it wants to connect into.
Right.
Yes. It's crazy. If he wanted to, they point this out several times.
And it kind of seems like, have you ever seen the show Chuck?
Yeah, kind of like Chuck, yeah.
It kind of reminds me of Chuck.
Yeah, and they point this out several times. He can, like, see through stuff. He can, like, scan people to get information about them. He can look stuff up. He can take control of, like, basically any electronic he wants to. And he can even, like, if he wanted to, like, start the launch sequence for like nuclear warheads
and like destroy the earth. Yeah.
Just blow up the earth. So he gets this eye and he gets an also a magic power pole. Well, it's not really magic. It's more technology based.
This is true.
I would say. And I feel like it's left very open. Like, why does he get the magic eye? You know, like why him? Like, what's so special about Goku?
I don't know.
Is it just because he's the main character?
I kind of feel like the reason why he did it is because he showed a heroic action of being able to break out of the hypnotism.
Mm-hmm.
And so, since he was willing to stab himself in the eye to do that, they knew he was ready to sacrifice stuff. So they were like, let's give him the eye.
You think so?
I think so. Okay. Because there is a little part before he drives off the thing where there is a voice that says he took his own eye to break out of the hypnotism. And then that's like all we know before he wakes up in the little like area saying, oh, well, when you are in his mind where it says oh, well, whenever you wake up, you know, you'll have this special eye and a pole to use and da 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 da.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's like left in like the middle of nowhere. He gets accosted by some thugs, which he takes him out in a pretty cool way, I have to say, with his power pole. I liked when he used his power pole like a lot.
Yes.
I thought it was just cool.
Yes. Like I think in this first episode it was probably I probably liked it and enjoyed it a lot better than the second one.
See, I kind of enjoyed it a little bit more in the second one. But I don't
feel like he used it as much in the second one.
He might have not, but man, that train sequence was pretty cool.
That was true too. I did like that one part.
We'll get to that later.
But we have that. He goes back to find the female detective that he knows or whatever. Mm-hmm. And she instantly just starts like stripping and coming on to him. And the eye automatically tells him like, don't drink the alcohol that she gave you. There's some kind of like roofie in it.
Yeah, he's like, drink. You slipped me a Mickey. That's what he said.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't kiss her lips because there's like a toxin on them. You know, all this other stuff. And he had already like had the idea like, hey, so nothing's going to happen because something's going on. This is not how this person is. So he kind of like gets her off of him a little bit.
Barely. And
he had already scanned the chair.
Yeah.
Which he had known that there was somebody close enough, which is another thing. I feel like we got more use out of the eye in this one too.
You think so?
Yeah, that was like explained, you know, okay. like what the eye actually can do.
Okay. Because
we got like that. We got the X-ray, we got the heat signature, like all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But long and behold, a person appears behind him in the chair and it is the, boss guy's secondhand muscle man that decides that he is supposed to basically like choke Goku out and kill him or something.
And the female detective is also like mind controlled at this point too.
Right. So after
she's trying to kill him as well.
After he kills the big guy and he somewhat knocks out the girl, then he finds out that the peacock lady is there.
Yep.
And she gets away. He kills her, right?
I think he kills her later.
Okay.
But I don't remember. I can't remember exactly. He might kill her.
I think he kills her now.
Does he?
Yeah, because I think he...
Because he like shoots her in the head with the power pole thing. Like with the laser beam. Right?
No, he didn't hear her. No, he hits her in like the ass.
Oh, okay.
Because then remember her peacock feathers pop off.
Oh, I don't remember that part.
And she's like, how? Because she turns around because she's like, how did he get out of my hypnosis? And then as she's running away, he gets her in the back with the pole.
Oh, okay. I must have missed that part.
And whenever he does, it makes all the peacock feathers pop off. But somehow, what's her face? The girl detective is still under like the control. Yeah, then, like she ends up like killing herself or whatever.
No, she ends up getting out. She ends up getting out of it.
Okay. Yeah, that was one of the parts I couldn't remember like with her.
She ends up getting out of it and then like the guy who they were fighting like takes this thing off his head and
that's right.
Like the mechanical bugs come out. And they target like your carbon dioxide intake to poison you or something. That was weird.
Right.
But it was a cool scene of seeing them like holding their breath and trying to get away from these like bugs.
Right.
I thought it was cool. It was a little weird, but I thought it was cool.
Right. Well, and we got the whole thing of where they got away. I'm air quoting right now. I know you can't see it, but I'm air quoting.
They got away.
And he's like, oh, yeah, you know, I can finally breathe. We got away from the bugs. And he looks down, and she's just covered in bite marks from the mosquitoes. And she's dead, you know, like.
I thought she was alive.
No, I'm pretty sure she was dead at that point.
No. That's right. So, she ends up, she does end up dying. And because she ends up dying, he ends up going after the guy who, like, was in charge of, like, this whole plan that was being developed. Guy. Yeah. The boss guy, yeah.
Can we point out how crazy ruthless he is?
Oh, he's fucking ruthless.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, the whole duck thing. Like, there's...
Oh, yes. Yeah, that was crazy.
He's, like, helping out two groups, and one of the guys has birds that migrate from his area over to the other country.
And they were going to use, like, a disease to kill, was like, all the men in the country?
50,000 people.
From the disease that they were going to implant into the male birds?
Yeah, per 50,000 people per virus strain.
Yeah.
And then literally it was only activated when the female geese were
like around. Yeah.
Inseminated.
Like, and then he goes and makes a deal with the other country.
With the other country, yeah, and you're like, what?
Yeah. When they brought that up, I was like, okay, yeah, sure, that makes total sense.
Yeah, right? And then we know that he's got this, we haven't seen him before, but the boss guy has his real number two, which is like, fucking mini-me. I mean,
let's just point out, he's a midget.
Yes.
He's a midget who wears a gold suit of armor. And what does he do? He rides around on the Harley girl. And she's like running on all fours trying to get, I almost called him Bean Bandit, to get Goku. Which was, when I saw that part, I fucking lost it. I texted you. And I was like, this is fucking crazy.
Yeah.
This is crazy.
So let me make the comparison for this on that one. So that reminded me of one of the things in Borderlands.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, where you have, like, the little midget guys, badass midgets, where, like, they do something like that. It's one of the named midget guys. I can't remember which one, but he rides on somebody like that. And I was like, oh, my God, is this Borderlands? When did we get into this universe?
But I love, it was so intense when he was being chased by the weird kinky motorcycle girl and the midget. And I like how he like gets out of it. He like decapitates her head
and uses her close-hanged him.
Yeah, like with his staff.
Yeah. And he gets both of them.
Yeah, he gets both of them, and he picks up her head and he starts using it kind of as a weapon. But I thought he uses it
like Medusa's head.
Yeah.
He's not turning motherfuckers into stone. He's blasting holes in them with her laser breath or her laser mouth.
And he gets go ahead.
But yeah, I mean, I really enjoyed this part too.
Yeah, it was crazy.
With that, and then him actually using it and him using the staff, and he just shoot it through people's foreheads like boop.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I totally think this guy Goku could have totally like been a Jedi in another life.
Yeah, I could see that.
I mean, like, especially just like using the boop, right through the head, right through the heart. Here we go. Boop.
Yeah, I know. I do. I see that. Yeah. But he was like,
this is one of the spots though that I want to bring this up to you because I question it. I know movie-wise, if they would have done something different in this part, it wouldn't have been as enjoyable. Uh-huh. But if she was a cyborg, why couldn't he have just controlled her like the entire time?
Maybe he didn't have access to her. I don't know. Plot convenience, I guess.
I guess. Because there's a couple things in this that was probably my only...
Why couldn't he control the other people?
This is true, too. Or the bugs.
Yeah, and the bugs.
That was one of the other things. Like, whenever we found out that the female detective died, I was like, why the fuck can he just control the bugs in the first place?
Yeah, and he ends up, like, flooding the entire, like, building with water. That was cool.
Yes. They were trying to drown him out.
Yeah.
And this guy's penthouse area has locking doors to do that. And Goku ended up basically like knowing the route to channel this water to send it directly to the guy's office.
Yes. That was crazy.
It was. I think I really enjoyed it, especially when you're the guy in the chair.
Oh, yeah, and he was like, I think it's going to so-and-so's office.
It's going up. It's going down. What's going on? I can't open any of these doors. It's making a circle. What? It's going this way.
And you watch it. Oh, it's
going to the boss's office.
You watch it on the map. Like, go. Like, it's then like, oh, it's going to get there. And it does get there eventually. And it pushes the guy out the window. There's so much water. And doesn't Goku use the head of the lady?
So he had big windows in his building. And when this water hit it, it took everybody else that was in the room with it. So it took the other general guy. So easy win for what's-his-face, the other general guy already that was planning on killing him. You know, whoop-de-doo. But then whenever it busted out this glass, there's still the rod that was in between the windows. And the boss guy catches it. And
I must have missed that part.
Yeah, because, you know, the water had to kind of build up behind the door before it exploded open. And then here comes Goku walking in, and he, you know, says something really cool, like a line, and then takes the Medusa's head, well, that's what I'm going to call it, and activates it. I'm assuming he activates it with his eye and shoots it directly through through the boss guy's chest.
Yeah, that was vicious.
Yes.
It reminded me of Die Hard. Like, the ending of Die Hard when he falls. Yeah, falls from the building. That's what it reminded me of.
Yeah.
Kind of.
And I mean, that's what I feel like. A lot of this just conglomerately did that.
Yeah. But I feel like it did it well, though.
It did.
Like, it wasn't bad. Like,
it did.
All.
It did. Like I said, I think that episode one, I mean, you can tell by the art and stuff, there's little differences.
Yeah.
You can tell, like, there's a little bit newer art with episode two than there is with one.
Yeah. No, I agree.
But, I mean, it's so... One, two seemed like it was just more gritty.
Yeah, I would say gritty. Two to me. Two was really violent.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really violent, and it went to like more of like I don't want to say like out there, almost like crazy aspect, more like a fanciful, like sci-fi type of thing. When we get to it, we'll talk about it. You know, there's a guy who has like roller skate legs at one point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead. And so this is kind of where like episode one ends, is that whole thing. And
yeah,
you know, Goku gives you this monologue about how he's upset that he couldn't save the female detective.
Yeah. And, you know, he goes about his business kind of thing.
Yeah. And then it just ends.
Yeah.
So, and then we get into episode two, which is where we have a like skyscraper pool on top of the thing.
Yeah.
Little Chinese guy is talking to a girl about, oh, well, I'll be able to basically like make you a singer and everything. You just have to sign some documents and everything.
He's basically like a human trafficker.
Yeah, and then that's what he ends up turning out to be, is a human trafficker.
The beginning of this is so crazy.
Which she was so fucking blonde. Because there's one part where he brings it up and he goes, oh, honey, he's not interested in your voice. He's only interested in your assets or something like that.
That's true.
That's
and
so
she's like,
bad.
What? What are you talking about? You know?
And then when the motherfucker just chokes her or whatever, she's like, this isn't a good thing for my throat.
Yeah.
Oh, man, it had me rolling. I was like, you're so dumb. You're so dumb.
Yeah. But we get into the main meat and potatoes of this particular episode. We meet this young girl who I thought she was the girl from the first episode. Not gonna lie. And then I was like, oh wait, she's not. Her name is like Ryoko, I think her name was. And she's like,
I don't remember the first name. The last name was Kodama.
Was it Kodama? I think her name was like Ryoko Kodama. I think, I want to say. But I could be wrong. But she, was she like the heiress to like this, another big business guy?
Zinzo.
Zinzo, that's what it was.
Yeah, she was supposedly the daughter to a general.
Okay. And she is looking for her brother who supposedly died 15 years ago. But he didn't die. He was actually genetically experimented on and with cybernetics and stuff. And he becomes like a cold stone killer.
Right. Basically. Yeah, he can lose his personality and go into like a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde kind of thing.
Which there's a part in this, and I laughed really loud. We'll get to it later. So
this is another one. We had those little flying metal hound things. They were the dogs that I questioned real hard why he wasn't able to control those.
True.
And the only thing I can kind of think about is we did get a little more of his kryptonite. Like if something's really fast and his eye can't lock onto it in time, then it won't work. And that's the only thing I could kind of think of with this.
I have to say, though, I felt like his eye almost was used as more of a crutch in a crutch situation in the second one. Like, he used it a lot in the second one.
Yeah.
Versus the third one.
The first one.
Yeah, that's right. The first one, sorry. Yeah, but we find out that this man, Ryu, is alive and well. He's a psychopath at some points. He's crazy. He has like almost like psychic powers, it seems like.
It's called a force generator, which is inside of his chest, and it helps him make force fields, basically.
Okay. And he's a crazy cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs kind of guy.
He was very much like, I feel like the person that made this episode was inspired by Star Wars because, I mean, he basically was using the Force.
Basically, yeah. And his dad is M. Bison from Street Fighter.
This is true. I did the same thing. I was like, old man M. Bison.
It's old man M. Bison right there.
Old man M. Bison.
And he wants him. He wants him to, so he can like use him as a weapon. And we find out that like he supposedly died, but it got covered up.
Yeah. And we have kind of a flashback moment where, he gets out of his prison cell and there is another general guy. That's like a one-star general.
He's trying to rape his quote sister.
Yeah. And he's doing that and he's running his mouth at the same time.
Yeah.
And
he basically kills him.
Yeah, he basically kills him.
Yeah, he kills him,
We get out of that to where they're still trying to find him. He ends up going, and he's hiding in, like, a wrecked ship.
Yeah, like a big, like a cargo ship, I want to say.
Yeah, and then we got the biker guys from Mad Max.
Yeah, they show up and they're like, hey, it's my birthday. Let's have a good time.
We forgot the cake. This girl we brought with us is going to be the
cake.
She goes in there, and I'm pretty sure he kills her because I don't think she got knocked out.
I don't know. That was very ambiguous, so I don't know whether or not they didn't like say it if they did or not.
See, and I had a problem with that too because we didn't know that per se.
Yeah.
But we know that he killed the other guy.
No, he kills the other guy. He kills the other guy. And then
we learn that this ability, when it's activated, creates ozone, which is supposed to be the stinky whatever. And I really feel like this is another thing that's a generate or a product of its time because we all know the ozone layer in the sky is just another layer of like air and stuff.
It's all Al Gore's fault.
It's the buffer of our stuff from outer space and our planet. And they called it the ozone for this thing too. And I don't know. I feel like it was oddly placed in there.
You think so?
Yeah, I feel like it was like right after people knew what the ozone layer was. You know, like when people were like, oh, you know, we have this thing and we're going to call it the ozone layer. Yeah. And I feel like the writer of this one took that and was like, well, that's what his power is going to be based off, the ozone.
But we do get this cool fight I really like with Ryu and Goku. For a while, like, Ryu is the main character in the second episode. Like, Goku's taken out of the picture at one point, you know.
Right,
and,
right.
The woman tells Goku to kill Ryu, even though she didn't want that to begin with. Look at this cool fight on the train. I love the fight on the train. It's crazy. I love how he, like...
It was.
The train, at one point, like, the train, like, lines up and it's straight. And he just opens all the doors. And from one end to the end...
If you guys have ever seen a monorail thing of Japan, how the car has to turn and you can't really see down the middle of it. When it turns, you kind of just see like the wave. And when it goes down a straight line and you can see directly all the way through it, that's what happened.
Yeah, and he's like, I'm going to open all the doors electronically and I'm going to extend my power pole to
He was like, staff! Steph Bro!
Shoo! And he like fucking knocks this guy out the window. And I was like, oh, that's fucking badass. But it doesn't like kill him. He's saved and he's like, oh, what can I do to like kill this guy, you know?
Right.
So he starts going through the internet and he finds these missiles, I believe that they are.
They are projectile something missiles. Basically, they're teleporting missiles that, which again is a Borderlands, a Borderlands 3 thing.
Yeah.
But if you are going to shoot somebody, it can go through and disappear from a wall and then open up and then hit the target.
Yeah, so I was interested. Like he goes to, like this plant, and then I realized he was starting to talk to like the appliances and stuff, like the robotics.
He was like, "Okay, guys, we gotta wake up so we can get our jobs.
We gotta get our overtime, guys. Come on,
I'll give you guys your overtime. Let's go.
Come on." Which I thought that was a funny. I thought that was like a little funny like part. But he like makes all these missiles and stuff. And then I was a little confused.
He upgrades his car.
I was a little confused. Did he upgrade his car or did they make a new car?
I'm pretty sure he upgraded his car.
Okay, so he upgrades his car. He goes from a Corvette to like a Lamborghini or Ferrari. I kind of like the original car a little bit more, but they were both really cool cars.
And then he basically turned it into Kit.
It's basically like... It's basically like
Knight Rider.
Roadbuster on steroids.
Oh yeah,
I feel like I can see that. Yeah,
It looked very Batman-esque.
It was a really cool car.
It was
like the mechanical works in this OVA were really cool, and he like starts driving the car and whatnot, and he gets to like this building, and like the guy is like. There's one part where like Ryu
Can we talk about that part real quick?
The part where he's just laying there having sex with a woman.
Yeah, where the prostitute is like riding the shit out of him, and
he's just stiff as a board.
Yeah, not moving or anything, and she's like, "Oh babe, you like it?" And he starts having like a fucking nightmare.
Yeah,
and does like this Hercules moan, and the girl thinks he's kind of enjoying it, and then she realizes like when he freaks out more, she's like, "Oh God, what's going on?"
And he fucking cuts and then her this head
is
off.
This is the part that throws me off though. He basically cuts her head off and thrusts upward like the him killing her is what got him off.
Do you think he busted a nut right when he killed her?
I think so. I think so.
Oh my god, that's crazy.
Cause it threw me off and I was like, what the fuck is going on?
What throws me off is
that there was a sex scene with Goku and Kodama right before this.
I mean, that too, that was a little weird. But because I forgot how like awkward like sex scenes are if they're not like hentai, you know? Yeah. They're just like oddly placed and whatnot. But like the car starts to fly. Like, well, he makes a flying car.
And I want to question this one thing too before we fully get off of that scene with Ryu.
Uh-huh.
Why do you think, I mean, it's just got to be placed in there, but why do you really think if Ryu's been locked up for 16 years that he was even like under the spell of wanting to fuck somebody?
I don't know. Maybe it was like animalistic nature.
Like, if that threw me off too. I was like, why would he wouldn't go do that? Like,
maybe it was some kind of animalistic like tendency or something.
I just think it's because it was an old anime and that's what maybe. They did.
And they I mean, it this is the same director as the director of Wicked City. So yeah. There's that, you know. It is a more adult anime. Yeah. You know. But so yeah, the missile sadly doesn't work at this point. And the car gets like thrashed around.
He doesn't even get to shoot the missile.
Yeah. Yeah. Because what's her face shows up.
What's her face throws him off his game. And this really cool car that it seemed like we had a really cool fucking like montage for. Yeah. Basically gets like force pushed and then drops to the ground and is busted.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have never hated a part of a show so much because I was like, we just fucking got that.
Yeah. Like, I agree. It was a cool car.
Can we not have good things? Like, yeah, you have to do that. I was like, can we not like keep this car for an episode and then have an episode 3 where this like finishes up? Because I at least want him to have this damn car for a little while.
Yeah. And then was it Zizo or Zozu or whatever his name is?
Zinzo.
Zinzo shows up. And we find out that Zinzo and Ryu are like identical, but one has a mustache and one, you know, might dress like a Nazi, you know. We find out that
one's old man M. Bison.
One man's M. Bison, you know. We find out that Ryu is actually a genetic clone and her brother actually died like 15 years ago. And she is actually his mom.
Yes.
I was like, okay. I mean, it's not hard to believe because anime is kind of fucked up a little bit, you know, but I guess we'll go with it, you know.
But that's what threw me off too. So she slept with Goku.
Mm-hmm.
And then the guy ended up kissing, because somehow, even though she was in Goku's apartment still, Zinzo found her.
Yeah, isn't Zinzo her father?
Supposed father.
Zinzo was supposedly her father, and she birthed her brother's child.
No. So her brother, I don't think ever really existed.
Okay.
I think the whole thing was a dramatization of that this guy was her brother.
Okay.
And she was like mind wiped to do that, but she was actually Zinzo's wife, and that's how he got the thing.
I can see that. Yeah, okay.
And I think it was one of those like, I married you out of spite or whatever, but really like you're just here for that. You know, she was there.
We're just gonna use you to make babies.
Yeah, to make the clone, and then basically to like let everybody have their way with her.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, I mean, you know, we had that general that was like that, and if one general was that way, I'm sure all of them that way.
You're not wrong about that, probably.
I mean, I'm pretty sure, like, how the scene went with her and the guy, that it ain't the first time.
But Goku uses all the magic powers of his technologically advanced eyeball to get his car up and running again. And it limps along and it ends up killing
Zenzo lets us know that Ryu was this project and was going to, he put it on himself at that point and used it and knew that because he put it on Ryu that it would be able to fuse with him because it had already been with somebody of the same like type, you know what I'm saying? The same clone. And so he was able to do that and then was going to blow Ryu up when What's-Her-Face jumped in front of him too, and it ended up killing both of them.
Yeah.
And then he basically force-pushed Goku into a wall and was trying to crush Goku under the pressure of his force when we got the kit car basically to limp over to where it could shoot its missile and end up inside of Zenzo's chest.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. Yeah. And that's kind of where this anime ends. Like, they blow up, have a happy ending, and Goku goes on his way.
Yeah, then we have this continuous monologue of Goku saying, I don't know why I'm doing any of this for a woman. Every time I get a woman, they always, you know. That part reminded me of Charlie Brown. Oh, I got a rock. And I was like, are you belittling all these ladies that somehow around you are dying? And you're like, oh, I can't be in a relationship, you know, like.
So let me ask you, what the hell did you think about this show? Because you picked it. It was off you. It was on my list, but you picked it for us to watch.
So I ended up picking this one just randomly.
Yeah.
I just got on there and I started going through stuff and I was like, oh, this one looks good. Let's try this one. Instead of like really reading it.
Yeah.
And I picked it. And it ended up turning out being pretty well. Yeah. Does it have problems? Yes, I will agree that it has problems. There are things that could have been better. I feel like it could have been extended a little more. God, get the man a shirt. you know, like all that stuff. But even though I would say that's in there, I would still probably give this a 4.5.
I would give it a 4. I really enjoyed it, though. I thought it was fun. It was bonkers crazy.
It was.
I do also feel like maybe extending it more or possibly making it like one continuous story. You know, like have a beginning, middle, and end instead of breaking it up into two different movies or two different shows. Just have like, just make it into a movie.
Well, and I think what they did with that was that they both came out at separate times.
True. No, you're not wrong.
And so I think while we were watching it on Tubi, they put it together, but it should technically be two different things.
Well, it was separate as two different things. But like I'm saying, I would have liked to see like maybe like a little bit longer, a little bit more explained, like get into the nitty gritty of the world kind of.
Hey, buddy, we might only have just watched the middle part. Maybe the third one's going to come out tomorrow.
I don't think so.
It could.
I mean, I know sometimes some OVAs do, like, there's different, like, year gaps in between, like, the releases of them. But I don't think so. But, like, I did enjoy it, though. Like, I watched it dubbed. I thought the dub was fun. I liked all the like body horror aspects with the technology and stuff. I liked how gritty the technology was. It definitely reminded me of like cyberpunk and stuff. I did think Goku and his eyeball were a little too overpowered at times, but that's just me.
See, and at different times, I thought he was too underpowered.
Okay. So maybe there wasn't like a happy balance.
Yeah. It was either too overpowered or too underpowered.
But I do agree. I think he should be wearing a shirt. At least something a little form-fitting to show off that nice body.
And
But
one of the other things that I do think with this, though, is because when it's first presented to us with the eyeball, is it supposed to be the best superpower in the world?
Yeah.
And to me, I was already like, I don't know if we can agree to that. Because if somebody has a really good lightning power, it's probably going to short out
your like, eye. It's not bad. This isn't a bad anime. I guess you could kind of, I didn't feel like guilty about it, but you could say it's a guilty pleasure, kind of. I would recommend this to people.
I would too. Like, that's why I think I gave it a higher score.
I recommended it to my coworkers today.
There's been so many other ones of these that we've watched that have just been shitty.
That's true. And I wasn't like bored at all.
No. And this one seemed like it had a good like pacing set. I mean, there was a lot of things that this one had going for it.
We could have gotten a third episode, maybe. But
We could have gotten a third OVA movie.
Yeah, beggars can't be choosers, I guess.
Yet.
I would love to read the comic, because apparently the comic came out over here. Like, Viz released it back in the day. So, you know, there's that. Yeah,
if you can find it.
I want to see if I can find it, to be honest, because this was crazy. It was crazy, bonkers. That's why I kind of love, like, 80s OVAs, because they just kind of, like, reach for the stars. You know, they throw everything into their product, right. And they, like,
see
everything in the kitchen sink.
That's another thing I think at times, like how you said, like, the eye was overpowered. I think it was overpowered. I think it was in the middle. I'm going to say that. And I think what we thought of part of it was overpowered in sense of like everyday humans.
Uh-huh.
But when you think like he's going up against other creatures that are in this, and I say creatures,
you could say he's maybe evenly matched
because they seemed like they were more like god tier esque creatures, you know, like
you would say like, right. Well, he was like right below them kind of in the power level.
Yeah, probably something like that. Or like the eye put him on equal terms with him.
Yeah, okay.
Because then the other thing that this made me think about was like Speed Grapher.
Oh, yeah.
Where, you know, everybody's got these superpowers, but well then if you're getting this eye, like what superpowers do you give people? And him fighting the peacock lady, which I assume was probably like a cyborg person,
yeah, something, yeah.
And then the Harley girl, which was an android, and the other guy, which we don't know if he was an android or what. Of course, you know, the little midget guy was a human, because why did everybody else not wear armor?
Yeah.
You know, we had the bugs that could basically do whatever they wanted, you know, have toxins in it or anything else like that. And then we get into this one where we have basically people that are genetically modified to use the force and be able to do all this stuff. So it's kind of like, well, how do you put him on the same level? And him having this eye is kind of what did that.
Yeah.
But
if there was like a writer's room in this, like there was people just throwing ideas at the wall to see what stuck. And then people were encouraging themselves, be like, yeah, that a guy with roller skate feet. Yeah, sure, let's do it. You know, right?
Well, and I think they also had like a thing in the corner of the room that said like, all right, guys, we're not going to turn this into sci-fi. We're not going to turn this into fantasy. There's not going to be magic. Everything that we do has to have a sci-fi aspect to it. And it did. I mean, everything that we had a sci-fi aspect to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't necessarily be mad in any sense of the word for all of these things being crazy ass science experiments.
I'd say the animation and music were on point in this anime.
This is true. That was another thing I wanted to bring up, because we did have the song. I think it was called Death Goes in something. Death Goes in the Night or whatever, which was the one we had in episode two.
Yeah.
And that one, like, was on point.
I added that to my Spotify playlist.
It was it was giving me, like, old Street Fighter vibes.
Oh, no, I could see it. Yeah, yeah.
Like fighting music. Like, and I was like, I love this. I can't argue with this.
Oh, yeah, it was fun. It was fun. Like, I saw a lot of, like, reviews on this, and people said, like, it's a fun show. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's fun, you know?
See, and there's also a lot of older people, I feel like, nostalgically would enjoy watching this.
Oh, I can see that, yeah.
Because of all the different things that get pulled into it. You know, like we've touched on, we basically had Kit. We basically had, you know, just other products of the 70s and 80s and things like that that came out that did have that supernatural aspect to it and was all kind of added into this.
Yeah.
Star Wars and stuff like that. So, I mean,
yeah,
you know.
No, I agree. But let's wrap this up. We both enjoyed this one, obviously. I recommend everybody go check it out.
It is 8.5.
Yeah. Also, go check out all of our other podcasts. Tell your friends about the podcast. Rate and review the podcast. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you guys on the next episode.
Right. See you next Tuesday.
See you next Tuesday.